I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Suzy Larson Live, always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, after years of dead religion, adolescent pursuits, a young 17-year-old man surrendered his life to Jesus during a loss at a bull riding final. Through highs and lows and over time, he was able to discover his calling in life, and it's to devote himself to one purpose, to know God in the most intimate way and reveal Him in the most accurate way. Wow, I love that. My guest today says he's learned the art of trusting God in spite of opposition. He's watched God work all things together for the good, and even now he's walking through redemptive parts of his story that I'm pretty sure are taking his breath away. Pastor Tim speaks often on the topic of perseverance because he knows it well. His story has ministered to many, and he's living proof that God turns our messes into a life-changing message. I believe with all my heart that we've got him booked today for such a time as this. That some of you who feel like maybe the bottom's dropped out, your life has fallen apart, you're at a dead end, and there is no way. Always remember that God makes a way where there is no way, and He is the way maker. And I really believe by the end of this hour, you're going to feel so inspired and encouraged to believe that when you follow Jesus and His Spirit is alive in you, it is just true. Goodness and mercy chase you all the days of your life. Somebody got to give me an amen. And a quick announcement before I introduce my guest today. We would love to hear your story. If in any way Faith Radio has been a part of encouraging your faith journey, text us, email us, or call the Faith Line after the show, 877-933-2484. You can't even know how encouraging your testimonies are. And if we can play a small part in encouraging you along the way, we want to hear from you. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Pastor Timothy Stewen is senior pastor for Rock Point Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. He's also co-host of the morning show at our sister station, 107.1 KSLT in Rapid City. He's a former pro bull rider. He gave his life to Christ after a loss at a bull riding final. His story holds a theme of perseverance that has ministered to many and bears the mantra that God is turning one's mess into one's message. I got to meet him at a recent media event, and he and I both spoke at it, and there's such an anointing on his life. And usually that comes when you lean into Jesus through the trials of life, where you trust Him more than you trust the trial. And He's got something to say. So Pastor Tim, welcome to the show.
Suzy, I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much. What an honor to be on the show with you. And I just appreciate all that you have to offer the body of Christ as well.
We're fast friends. I'm so grateful that I get to share you with our listeners today. And, you know, our friends and our sister stations hear you on the music station. And with music, you know, you get to talk a little bit in between, but you need an hour. So I'm so glad. We're giving you
that
time.
To a preacher.
Yeah, right. Well, you know this. I love to open the show just making it personal. And I'm wondering what the Lord's been saying to you these days.
It's interesting you ask, because we've been in the middle of a series on the goodness of God, and it kind of goes along with the bigger picture of my life. If I were to respond to that, I would say, how do we keep faith in a God who's good when things in life aren't looking so good? Mm-hmm. And I've just kind of been ruminating on that. And the other day I was driving to church to preach on the goodness of God, and I'm thinking about, well, there was times in my story where I was totally doubting God's goodness. And I wonder if any of my heroes in the faith were doing that as well. I thought about Moses. I thought about Ruth or Esther, especially Job. And then I got to Joseph and I thought, you know, Joseph sitting in prison for about 18 years. I'm sure at one point he was like, God, are we sure you're good here? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that really is the mantra of the believer, is that all throughout history, we've seen people that have gained strength in the struggle. And when they come out of the struggle, they have something to offer. And it's so cool that we have a scripture that says we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony. And so I think that's what we're doing here today. That's what your whole show's about. And you do such a great job at it, Suzy.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor. Well, you were a professional bull rider. I mean, it's just so amazing to me. Talk to me about how you got into bull riding and even some of the lessons you learned from risking your life on the top of a bull.
Well, it takes a lot of faith to get on a bull, yeah. But it's interesting how I actually started the occupation. It turned into a professional occupation. But I just growing up as a kid, you know, I was kind of in nominal church and I always had a drug problem because mom drugged me to church and drugged me back, you know. And I got to a place where I was about 12, and in that church, in order to take communion, you had to be go through some certain classes and stuff like that. And for some reason, I just did not want to do that. So I kicked and screamed and just totally rebelled against my mom. And then got around some friends. All my dad was a tree trimmer, and all of his guys that worked for him were cowboys. And so they built us a bucking bull out in our pasture. It was kind of like a barrel with springs on it. And we used it to have fun on it. Well, my sister, she was 2 years older than me. No, 3 years older than me. She starts riding bulls. And oh, I always say, if your sister starts riding bulls and you don't, you're the sister, you know?
Totally.
So they had this local arena outside of town called Heart Ranch. And every Tuesday and Thursday night, they would have a rodeo, mostly for tourists. And I started entering in that and started riding bulls. And then it eventually morphed into a career. Well, you know, I was out just without God. I was far away from God as I could be. And I was just, you know, I always knew he was with me. I prayed that prayer every night ever since I was a little boy. Now I lay me down to sleep. But I didn't have a relationship or anything like that. And so as I'm riding bulls, I'm getting pretty good at it. And then I get to a place where I remember I was at a rodeo and I had put 777 on the side of my chaps, basically for the gambling number, like a lucky number, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a preacher that would always go to the rodeos because his kids rode and they'd always pray behind the chutes and stuff. And I always thought it was really weird. And I was standing there ready to get on my bull one day, and he looks at my chaps, and he leans over and he says, "So how come you got God's number on your chaps?" And I said, "God's number?" He said, "Yeah, 7. It's God's number." I said, "Really?" And it just shocked me, and I thought, "Whoa, I got God's number on my chaps." Well, lo and behold, I get on my bull, and I actually win the rodeo. And so the next day, I heard he was doing a church service at the rodeo, and it was freezing cold in this barn out on the eastern side of the state. And so I decided, well, because he paid me such a high compliment, I guess I'll go to his church service, you know. And I sat next to some old ladies that had a blanket because it was so cold, and he preached a message about God's divine healing and about God touching somebody and actually raising him up from the sick bed. And I just couldn't believe it. It was so different from what I had heard in the past of this, you know, God that was so unapproachable. And it started a seed in me, and it kind of started to rock me a little bit. And I left, and I just kind of retreated to my same life. And then throughout that year, I started to grow in getting better in bull riding. And by the end of the year, I was champ, and all I had to do was go to the finals, ride 3 bulls, and then I would win everything. And so
then
that was,
what happened?
Well, interesting. I came in real confident. There was really no way anybody could catch me. My best friend was 15th place, and I got on my first one. I rode him and went to the dance that night and danced on the tables and made it known who your next, you know, champion was going to be. And then the next night I got on another bull and he bucked me off right away. And I lost everything right there. Mm. And to top it all off, my best friend wins everything. And wow. So they're handing him the buckle, and I'm wanting to congratulate him, but mad because I had banked my whole year on winning this buckle and this championship. Well, I pick up my gear bag and I'm just defeated, you know, like I lost everything. Even my spirit, just I was so defeated. Like that was my world. And when I walked out, there was another preacher by the name of Tony Shoulders who was there, and he saw me walking out kind of downcast, and he hits me in the arm and he says, "Well, at least you're still going to heaven." And I wanted to punch him. I was like, seriously? And I went to my tent that night. We were staying in tents, and I just thought about that all night. Do I really know this God? Do I know more than just what I learned in Sunday school? And he happened to have an awning on his camper, and he would do Bible studies in the mornings on those. And I found him, and I went over there, and I asked him, and I just said, "Hey, how do you know?" He goes, "How do you know what?" And I said, "How do you know if you know God, or you're going to go to heaven, or any of that?" And he picks up a thin line Bible, and he wags it in front of my face, and he said, "Look, Tim, Jesus is either liar or he's Lord. But if you're going to choose Lord, you better read this book." And he said, "You need to pick out a favorite scripture, and you need to surrender your life to Jesus and his lordship." And I did. I picked out Philippians 4:13, of course, you know, the most sought after scripture for most, and then went on with that from there.
Wow. Okay, we need to pause. When we come back, we're going to pick up the story because there are many more twists and turns in Pastor Tim's story. And if you ever want to hear him, you can hear him on 107.1 KSLT in Rapid City. If we've got some Rapid City listeners, you got to chime in and let me know. What an incredible story. I really believe God's going to encourage you through Pastor Tim's story. More with him when we return. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. My guest today is my new friend, Pastor Tim. You may hear him if you listen to the music station 107.1 KSLT in Rapid City. He's a morning show co-host, and he's giving us his backstory when he was a bull rider and how he was really the shoe-in to win it all. And the bull knocked him off, and he lost it all. And his friend was, like, I think in 15th place, took home the buckle. But in that low place, a pastor who was there, a preacher, led him to the Lord. So what happened after that, Pastor? So you were led to the Lord. You decided to start trusting Jesus, making him Lord. What happened in your journey after that?
Well, I just went full tilt and full tilt toward God. When I came home, I was a junior in high school and going into my senior year, and my friends didn't know what happened to this guy. They didn't know if I was going to wear a robe and what I was going to do, you know. But I was just full tilt, and I just wanted to know God so much. As a matter of fact, I went back to my best friend's house, and he was adjacent to another one of my friend's mother-in-law's. They all kind of lived in a tripod area there. Their three houses' backyard were close together. And growing up with my best friend, when I'd be out just kind of fooling around, she'd stick her head over the fence and she'd always say to me, "You saved? Are you saved?" And I didn't know what she meant, you know? And so I would just say, yes. I learned that yes would get her off my back. And finally I came back from the finals and I was with my best friend and I was telling him this experience. And she was back there working on the garden, and she pokes her head over the fence, and she goes, "Are you saved?" And I said, "Sharon, as a matter of fact, I am." I said, "I give my life to Jesus." And she just was ecstatic. And then she turns around and says, "Do you know what God's called you to do?" And I thought, "Geez, woman, I just got saved." You know, I mean, seriously. Yeah, I do too. My head spoke instead of my heart, and I said, "Yeah, I'm called to be a world champion bull rider." And she goes, "Nope, that's not it. When you figure it out, you come tell me," and duck back down under the fence. And I thought, what? Wow. And when she ducked down, my heart just leapt inside of me and out of my mouth. I'm still surprised to this day. I just said, "Hey, you know, I might maybe like to preach God's word." And I don't know why I even said that, but she jumps up from the fence and her eyes were as big as saucers. And she said, "That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to preach this gospel all over the world." Wow. And I was just bewildered. And then she gave me the name of this church that met on Sunday nights. And I never did anything with it for about 2 months. And I'd go out and I'd practice bull riding just outside of town here. A guy had some bulls and we'd get on 8 or 9 bulls every night So our pants mixed together with some of the scent that was on the bowls and all this stuff wasn't very appealing. And one night afterwards, I decided to go to the church service because it was on Sunday night and we just got done riding bowls. And I thought, I'm going to pop in there. I didn't even realize what I had on and how bad I probably smelled. And so I eke into the back row and they're playing this song. It's not really recognizable much anymore, but it was called Sweet Wind. And it was kind of like, there's a wind blowing all across the land. And I sat there in the back pew hearing this and I just broke. And I thought to myself, this was the God that guy was talking about, that pastor that said, hey, you got God's number on your chaps, the God that heals, the God that wants to know you and have a relationship with you. And so I broke down and I'd never experienced that before. And then I kind of had some anger because I felt ripped off for 17 years of my life. I didn't ever experience this. And boy, that's when relationship just started to overtake me. And I started to realize that there's a lot more to this Christianity than what I had thought growing up. So I continued to ride bulls and I'd come to that church every once in a while throughout my time. And I got really good. I got to the point where I was going to win the state championship for South Dakota. And I was so excited to go. And all I had to do was ride three bulls again. Can you believe that, Susie? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the irony. Well, the last time was the worst day of my life. And so I get there and I get on my first bull, ride him easy, get on my second bull, actually ride him easy. And once again, I'm leading it way ahead. And throughout that time, I'd started a ministry called Bull Riders for Christ, where all we did was just pray with people behind the chutes. Before the rodeo would start, I'd get a hold of all the cowboys and I'd just say, hey, you guys want to pray? And they'd say, sure. And whoever wanted to would kneel down and we'd make a big circle in the back and pray. And then out of that, people started saying, you know, spilling their life stories and their hurts and pains. And so we would pray for them. Or I remember a few nights we'd kick the bucking horses out of the back pens there and we baptized some people right there in the horse trough, you know, and wow. It was just precious this whole year. Well, I knew as this year was coming to an end that the champion bull rider would be able to write an article in the next year's programs. So everybody that went to those rodeos the next year would be able to read all the past champions' years and how they did what they did and won the champions. And I wanted so badly to glorify God and say that we prayed with people, we watched their lives changed and just give God all the glory for what he had done for me throughout that year and others. So I knew I had to win it in order to be able to write that article. But along with that came buckles and saddles and everything else. So here I find myself at this last round, and they pull the hat out with all the numbers in so you can choose which bull that you're going to ride. And there was a few bulls in there that they bucked so hard, nobody wants them as their last bull because they hardly ever get ridden. And if you draw them, you're going to have to put up a fight if you want it, you know. Well, one of them was named Bam Bam, and his number was 05. Mm-hmm. And I reached in the hat, and I pull out 05. Mm-hmm. And I had watched this bull. I've been on him before. He bucked me off a couple times. I'd seen everybody buck off of him all year long. And I was I was numb. To be honest, you know, some
did you ever
people
feel
think,
fear at moments like that? I mean, did you feel ever feel fear? Or did you have to stay out of your head, or how did you do that?
You did have to stay out of your head. Managing fear was what I learned about out of bull riding that's helped me so much in my spiritual life. Hmm. I think everybody should ride bulls before they become a Christian because you can deal
with fear. Let's make it a new rule.
Yeah, let's make it a new rule.
For the newbies, I mean, not for me, but anyway. Wow.
But, you know, it was. And I, as soon as I drew that number, my heart sank. Mm-hmm. And I just remember my dad. My dad was my greatest fan. He came over to me right when I put the number down. And I think my face was white. And I walked up to him and he met me and he said, well, what'd you draw, son? And I said, Dad, I drew Bam Bam. And he looks at me and he hits me on the back of the shoulder and he says, "You can ride him, son." And I think he had as much faith as you know, I had, or he was my faith for me, put it that way, the wind beneath my wings. Cause I thought, I don't know if I can ride him. I don't think I can. And I had this thought, Susie, I thought, you know, I can go through the whole night picturing myself bucking off. And I had done some positive thinking stuff in times prior before I became a Christian. And I remember this: your mind can't tell the difference between an imagined experience or a real experience.
Right.
And so I would ride a lot of bulls in my head so that I could ride them physically, because your mind can't tell the difference. And so I thought, you know, if I go through this whole night and think about bucking off, I'm probably going to buck off. And I mean, that's total biblical, isn't it? As a man thinketh, so is he, and what you put your mind on, all those things. So I just kind of got this little grit in me to go, you know what? I'm going to picture myself riding him, and I'm going to take my dad for face value and think I can. So I went through the whole night just picturing me riding him and riding him and riding him. And I woke up the next day and got ready for the rodeo. And they say to Stu, "And your bull's in the chute." And I get down on him, and I still remember it plain as day. He was really wide, had huge shoulders, pulled my rope, slid up on him, and said, "Let's go." And they pulled that gate, and I mean, he exploded. He started spinning one way, and he loved to throw his head, and he had such a huge head, and he'd throw it all around everywhere, so it looked real flashy, and it was just amazing. And I remember being in the middle of him, in the middle of the ride, just thinking, how is this happening? And I just felt the companionship of the Lord, like he was there, you know.
Wow.
Well, he starts turning back the other way, and he's getting me a little strung out, but I'm still riding him. And I hear that whistle blow, and it just, that was it.
And how long was that? How long do you have to ride for?
8 seconds. And that seems like an eternity when you're on the back of a 2,000-pound bull. But
oh, wow.
And I mean, horns went off and confetti, and I won the championship. I swung my vest around. The crowd was going wild. They gave me the buckle. They gave me the saddle. And then I got to write that article. And I mean, I doused it with God and how awesome he was. So after this, right after the performance, my aunt lived in that town. It was Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And we went to her house afterwards just to celebrate and catch our breath and watch the videotape, of course, because back in that day we had the big camcorders on the shoulder, you know, and so they got it on tape, and I was watching the tape, and here comes Bam Bam, and he's spinning, and I'm riding him, and right at the beginning of the ride, about the middle, this girl just starts screaming for me, you know, and I'm like, who is this girl, you know? And so I turned to my mom and I said, "Who is that girl screaming?" She said, "That's your dad."
We got to pause here, but that is the best. Oh, my word. That's the best ever. Talking to Pastor Tim Stuen. Oh, my goodness. There's so much more to this story. I pray you're finding some encouragement here today. God is in the business of redemption. Tim's story has a few more twists and turns that will break your heart. But we'll also bless your heart. Don't go away. More great story up ahead. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Pastor Tim Stuen. He is a senior pastor for Rock Point Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. Also a co-host of the morning show at one of our sister stations, 107.1 KSLT in Rapid City. He's been telling his story. So as a teen, he was climbing up through the ranks as a bull rider. Wasn't a believer at that point. Was a shoe-in for a major championship. Went off the bull. But in that place, in that low place, God put a preacher in the right place at the right time to lead him to the Lord. Then he's coming back, and now he he's telling the story of how he won the state championship in South Dakota. And one of the big passions for him for wanting to win that thing is to be able to write an article, because the winner gets to write an article for many other bull riders and their families to read. And so pick up the story at that point now, Tim. This is just amazing.
Yeah, so I won the state championship. They published the article. I had so much feedback from that, of people that were, you know, just so blessed by that. And people started pouring into me and asking me stuff and asking me to come preach at different places. And so I continued riding bulls, went up to the professional level, and won the Rookie of the Year there, and got married in that time. And my wife was attending Mankato State University, and so she was in Minnesota, and then I was back and forth. I lived in Minnesota, and then I'd come back here to South Dakota to ride and do certain rodeos and things like that, meanwhile traveling across the country. Well, then she graduated and had the opportunity to do some student teaching down in Texas, and so she moved down there, and I actually stayed up here for a while to finish off some of my bull riding seasons. It was really hard being that far apart, and I was in the stock show here in Rapid City, and I got like third place. And I remember right after I got off, I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, "I want you to move down to Texas and be a husband to your wife, and I'll tell you what to do from there." And so I just dropped everything and took off down there, and it was kind of hard. You know, we were in Spring, Texas, right off of Rayford and Sawdust Road there, hidden in an apartment. And I was desperate for, God, what do you want to do with my life? And thank God for people like Rebecca St. James. I wore her CD out. On the way down to Texas, I grabbed my brother. He was going to Kansas City, or Garden City, Kansas there. He was going to college. And he was all messed up, drugs and stuff like that. And I just had this inkling to grab him and say, "You're coming with us." And so we went down there. He actually came. I was surprised, and showed up there with me in Texas. We had a 2-bedroom apartment. And I remember he got an air mattress that we bought from Walmart or something like that. And he slept on that. And by the morning, it was deflated. And I'd come over there, open up his door, kick the bottom of the mattress. It would pop him up off the mattress. I'd say, "It's time to pray." And we'd have our faces in the couch or on the floor, listening to Rebecca St. James, just praying, "God, if you're doing anything in the land, you know, don't pass us by." And I didn't know what to think or what to do. So I got plugged in with a church, Tomball Cowboy Church down there. And that was a real interesting story, because I heard from a friend that they had church, and so I called the pastor, told him that I was coming, and I just wanted to check out their church, and he said that'd be great. And I'd been studying and learning all this stuff, and I'd preached a lot at that time at different churches and given testimonies and all this. And so I showed up that night, and we were just going to listen to him preach, and he opens up the service and says, "Hey, everybody, I designed a message for tonight, but God just spoke to me and said that this man right here has a message," and he gives me the microphone.
Oh,
and
wow.
I came uncorked on those people. Everything I learned from John 3:16, I was I preached it. And it was one of the most powerful evenings I have yet to have. People were getting healed. People were bawling all over the altar. We had some baptisms. Pastor was just in awe, and it was totally God. And that started to show me that maybe God had something more than just bull riding, you know. And of course, going along with that word from Miss Sharon when she said God's called you to preach the gospel. So I got on the worship team. I can play guitar and stuff, and got on the worship team there, and we went to church there for 2 or 3 years. And really solidified there and ministered to a lot of people. But then I was going to go to Bible school, and I had signed up everything in Oklahoma. We were going to go up there and go to Bible school. I had everything signed out, ready to go. And we jumped in the vehicle to go, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, "I don't want you to go to Bible school, I want you to drive back home and submit yourself as a spiritual son to Pastor Gary Johnson. Well, that was the church that I initially had gone to where God just rocked my world. And so I drove, we drove all the way home from Texas, and I scheduled a meeting out at his house, and I went and sat down and I said, look, I was going to go to Bible school, and the Lord told me to come and to submit myself to you as a spiritual son or you know, an apprentice. And he said, yeah, I know it.
Wow.
He said, I've been praying about this, and I felt like that too. And we had developed a relationship before I had left for Texas, so he knew who I was and things like that, which started me as associate pastor for about 9 to 12 years at the Dove Christian Center here in Rapid City. And eventually, over time, got to about 2013, and one of the most tragic things of my life began to happen. Things were going real great up into that point. Everything was rolling, and all of a sudden, I was at a Qdoba eating with my graphics designer, and he was in a home group with my dad, and he said, man, I can see where you guys get your humor and all those things. Your dad is just a delight. I love that man, and I'm so enjoying being in the home group with him. And I said, yeah, he's a great man. And I remember leaving Qdoba and going home, getting on my computer to write my sermon for the next week. And I get a phone call from my sister-in-law that said, Tim, your dad's had a heart attack, and they couldn't revive him.
Oh.
And I just thought, what? Like, you know, it's one of those where you just, really? Is this happening? You know, surreal. And I said, okay. She said, your brother's going to meet you here in just a second, and you're going to go get your mom. And it was about 50 miles away where he had this heart attack. He was trimming a tree, and the lady came out and said, how long are you going to be until you're finished? And he said 15 minutes, and she had some lemonade to bring out to him. And when she came back out, he was laying on the ground with his hands up in the air, just gone. And so, I dealt with that the best way that I could. That's where I really stretched out my faith, and I prayed, and I believed that God was going to do a miracle with my dad. I mean, he was one of the most humble men and one of the greatest servants I've ever met in my life. The greatest example of a man of God I think I've met. And ended up doing his funeral, which happened to be the best but worst day of my life. The most honoring day to have the privilege of doing my dad's funeral and telling what kind of a man he was, but the hardest day on my faith because he's not there, you know? And, I remember after that, I got real disappointed, and I put my hand up on the shower when I was taking a shower, and I didn't blame God, but I just said, God, why do you, tell us to believe these things in your word? And then when we do, we don't see the outcome. And I'll never forget what I heard, Susie. The Lord said to me, didn't I accredit it to Abraham as righteousness because he believed? And I said, yes, Lord, you did. What's that have to do with me? And he said, did you believe that your dad was going to raise? Because I was believing that God was going to raise my dad up, and there was going to be this tremendous miracle, and we were all going to be able to rejoice. And he said, did you believe that? And I said, yes, Lord, I did believe that. And he said, well, I have credited it to your account as if it happened. And, you know, wow. We buried my dad 6 feet under, and there was a moving experience at his funeral with some of the guys that I had discipled for 14 years called the Mighty Men. They were all there, and my dad loved the Mighty Men because it was just guys that I had discipled. And then at the end of the year, we had this Mighty Men advance, and 300-400 men would come from all over the nation and gather there. And we would just minister to them, and trap shooting, and people's marriages were restored, and all kinds of cool stuff. And we had this chant where we'd say, Mighty Men. And then the other guys would say, I am. And we did that every year. Well, at my dad's funeral, he was a veteran, so they did the folding of the flag and the awesome ceremony for him. And there was a gal there who had done these funerals for years and was never, there was no expression on her face. And I'd actually seen her at some of the funerals that I had done. And right as they were closing the ceremony, I just had this gumption to yell out "Mighty Men," and I didn't know if anybody was going to do anything. And right as they folded the last part of the flag, I just said, "Mighty Men." And about seven of my guys that were there just yelled out just right off the bat, "I am." And the whole family just breaks down. And the lady that was stoic all the time, she just starts bawling.
Wow.
And she said, in, I think it was 23 years of doing funerals, I have never been moved by like that in my life. Mm. And that was the greatest tribute, I think, with my dad. And it just,
wow.
It was an amazing moment with such a tragedy packed. And there's still a void there with dad being gone. But the legacy is just amazing.
Wow. We're going to pause here. There's one more painful twist in the story. And not to say that's the only pain you've experienced, but there's another pretty tragic twist in your story. But it's in those places, again, where God met you. And I think it's why there's such an anointing on your life, because you kept trusting Jesus and have come out the other side. And you even have some pretty new news as far as the redemption story goes. Talking to Pastor Timothy Stewart. He's senior pastor for Rock Point Church in Rapid City, also co-host of The Morning Show at our sister station, 107.1 KSLT. And you get to hear a little bits of his preaching and his just anointed words every morning if you tune in to KSLT in Rapid City. We'll be back in a minute. So here's a question for you. What do you love about Faith Radio? Has a particular show, something you've heard, changed the way you think and the way you pray? We would love to hear from you. Your story can encourage others and will glorify God. And you know what? It encourages us too. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling toll-free 877-933-2484. Leave a message today. We sure appreciate you.
This is the key. This is the key. This is the key.
Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Here's what's true. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you, which means there's no aspect of your story that God has forgotten about. He is the Redeemer. He's in the process of redeeming your life. And some of all of what you'll see in eternity will take your breath away. But some of what he's doing, you're going to see in the land of the living. Don't want you to give up hope. That's why I'm so grateful to highlight Pastor Tim Stewart's story today. And we're on the home stretch. So if you're just tuning in, once the live show's over, it'll go to podcast. You got to go back and listen to the whole show. But at this point, your dad has just died. You and your wife have moved around a little bit and kind of landed in South Dakota, and you're doing ministry there. What happened next?
Well, so about 7 years of that, and I was at a place where I thought Suzy was the pinnacle of spiritual success. Everything that I felt God had called me to, I was there. 500 person church, approximately, and serving members, not just attendees. You know, we had three services going on. I was preaching all the time. We had Mighty Men advance every year, and disciples that I had raised up, people that were really had the opportunity to start ministering and shepherding their families, and it was just amazing. I also was given an airplane to travel around, and I had an itinerant ministry where I would go back and forth and minister. And during that time, I also got on KSLT. So, you know, the broadband of listenership and the lives that were being changed was just absolutely amazing. Not to mention, I'd been married for almost 18 years at this point, and two beautiful kids, and everything was just, it was just stellar. And I thought, I finally made it. I was waiting for that plateau to just continue to do this on into eternity, you know, and do whatever life throws at us, we'll deal with it because we're in a good, solid place. There was nothing in my life that I would consider sin or anything like that, or hang-ups or anything like that. It was all in check. And then one day after a third service, I get called into my brother's office. And
wait, your brother's the senior pastor, right? And you're the associate, is that right?
No, I'm the senior pastor at this time.
Okay.
Pastor Gary Johnson had handed it over to me.
Oh, okay.
And I became the senior pastor. He was the associate, and I had administrator and a staff and everything. And so he pulled me in, and the shock of my life, he said that unfortunately discovered that my wife was getting involved in a different relationship with somebody. Hmm. And I thought he was joking, you know, I really did, but the candor and the way he delivered it to me was just unmistakable. Mm-hmm. So I went home and I tried to pull this rock up out of the ground and pry a little bit and find out what was going on. And of course there was some things that weren't presented to me that weren't true. And so we went out to meet with them and just counsel this thing through and see what was going on, and come to find out there is a relationship that had developed and it had been ongoing. And so we tried to bring pause to it and go through the restoration process, you know. First of all, repent of it, get it out of the way, and then begin to work on our marriage or whatever needs to be done. Sabbaticals, times away from the pulpit, counseling with senior leaders, lots of counseling, prayers. And there was about 3 episodes where we discovered more things were happening. And so I was finding myself trying to catch water. And and I don't know what went awry there. I think, you know, I'm very calling driven, and I'm very passionate for the Lord. And my wife was very independent. She took care of a lot of things. I put full trust in her. So maybe throughout the years, there was kind of a drain where ministry kind of began to eclipse things. But I kind of had this mindset that was, you know, if you take care of God's stuff, he'll take care of yours. And I knew the whole family order, God first in family, et cetera. But I'm just living it the way that we did it. And it seemed to work. And it seemed like it was totally a surprise attack. And to say I was devastated was an understatement. And so we began.
How long ago did that happen?
It's probably been about 6 or 7 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so I went through 3 years of just absolute unbelievable crumbling. The best thing I could put on my life, the best word would be implosion. The church split. Somebody took the church across town, and 250 members just went that way. Hmm. My mighty men kind of dwindled.
Wow.
You know, people don't know what to do in that situation, and they expect pastor to have all the answers and figure it all out, which I was trying desperately to do, take whatever measure I could to bring restoration and reconciliation. I loved my family. I loved my wife. I loved my kids. I was just on scramble mode. Mm. I ended up actually, when the church split, I continued to go to church there. I turned the pulpit back over to my spiritual father, Pastor Gary, and he continued to take it on. And, had his grandson come in and was going to pastor. His grandson was going to be the associate pastor. So I was just left there, sitting there kind of like Job in my rubble, scraping my sores with pottery, just wondering, are you good, God? You know, but I never did lose hope. At one moment I just excused myself from the church and said, you know, I feel like the Lord's released me. Will you? And I started going to another church across town that really nobody really knew me at and ministered to me. I took 8 months off of the radio because I didn't want to bring any reproach on the gospel or anything like that. I needed time to heal. And that went on for a while. And then all of a sudden I get an opportunity to do a church service at a drive-in. And this COVID started kind of in the middle of this. And I get an opportunity to do a church service at the drive-in, Roy's Drive-In movie theater here in Hermosa, South Dakota. And I took it. And it was kind of a God story how that happened. I called to reserve the place for Easter service. And he said, well, it's first come, first serve. And we got somebody already on the list. And he said, what's your name? And I told him my name. And he said, well, you're the first person on a list. And I said, well, I've never called you before. And he said, well, somebody must have, because you're the first person on the list.
Wow.
And so we did that service, and it was packed with people. There was even snow on the ground. And all of a sudden, God started to breathe breath back into me. And I started preaching there every Sunday, and we started doing things called Saturday Night Live, where people would show up and they'd actually be on the screen projected. And then we moved to another church building. It was actually a wedding reception hall called Rock Valley Gardens. And we went from the drive-in to there, and the church started to build, and it was going really well. And then after services, I kept bumping in to my my pastor, you know, Gary Johnson. I kept bumping into him in restaurants and in different places. And I thought that was kind of weird. Like maybe God was doing something, but I just kind of kept it in the back burner. Well, lo and behold, probably about a year and a half ago, he said, hey, would you come out to the house? And I came out again like I had the first time when I traveled from Texas, and he sat me down and he said, you know, I think he was 78 or 80 at the time. And he said, it's time for me just to let go of the reins here. And he said, I was praying about this and God just will not let it go, that the only spiritual son that I've really had is you. And, I want to turn the church back over to you, and I want you to run with it, which was a shock. Like, this should not, and in my mind, could not happen, but it did. And so we occupied the building and started Rock Point Church, and all of a sudden people just started pouring in. And kind of our mantra is, people's mess is being turned into a message, you know.
How do you pastor differently now after what you've walked through? Because you're so gracious, and you left out, you know, parts where, you know, people treated you in a way that you just did not deserve, but you really kept humbling yourself before God. How are you a different pastor now than you were then?
That's a great question. I would say I was the kind of pastor that was like, if somebody came up to me with a problem, I'd say, here's your three scriptures, go do your homework. And if they didn't do their homework, I had nothing I could help them with. And it was just kind of that, you know, if you're not going to put in the effort, I'm not either. But then I realized some people are so exasperated, and they come to a place where they can't even help themselves. And Jesus didn't minister to those people the way I was. And so I started realizing that compassion wins the day, you know, and that sometimes you have to press a little bit, and you have to be a soft place for people, and don't let anything scare me. You know, people can do the craziest things, but hey, God's into redemption, and he's into loving people. And I also kind of had this aspect of, prior, I focused more on the holiness of God than on God's love for people, which I say, the currency of the kingdom is people for God. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. And so I started realizing that God's in the business of loving people. And prior, I seemed to try and uphold the holiness of God, which seemed to estrange people. But as long as I was good with God, people make their own problems and they can pull themselves up by their bootstraps. But it's made me way more compassionate and way more to be a safe place for people to heal and to come to a place where they can trust in God, you know.
And we need that. We just got 1 minute left, and you've got an update for us that makes me smile. What do you say?
Well, when things started coming full circle, like the church, which was an impossible thing, my co-host and I, we've kind of both been through some crazy times in life, and it was hard to trust. But through all that, we've become really good friends. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I just proposed to her, And she's the love of my life, and we're going to roll with it. And
she said yes, right?
Yes.
Don't leave us hanging here.
Barely.
I mean, come on. Oh, congratulations. No. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, man. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again. I got
to
say,
Mike, one
of our listeners wrote in. He says, God bless you, brother. He said, beautiful story. This was awesome. Pastor, thank you for the time and congratulations with all our hearts. We'll look forward to our next conversation.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Susie.
Mm-hmm. Pray you found some encouragement here. God is Redeemer. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.